good morning.
As I get a little bit older, I'm getting a little bit wiser. I'm realizing all that up and down those stairs is why part of the reason why my knees hurt all the time. So I'm just going to start down here. I got a microphone, and I'll go back up to the platform a little bit later. But wanted to say welcome to Harvest Baptist Church. We are glad you're here. Another beautiful day in paradise, amen. And I got some warm weather coming up this next week, but I'm looking forward to it because after all, I do have AC in my car and in the house, so I'm ready to go for the heat. Before, so we're going to get started here in just a moment, have a word of prayer, and before the choir sings, that one more thing I'm going to do, but we'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings of joy and fellowship. Thank you for the opportunity for service, Lord, and just thanks so much for your goodness to us, Father. Beautiful facilities you've given us, air-conditioned building, padded seats to come in. And Lord, just help us today to enjoy the blessings you provided for us. Help us to lift our voices in song as we worship you. Those who are visiting with us today, Father, I pray that you would bless them, Lord. I think of the opportunity I've had to meet some of our visitors today is just such a blessing. I pray that they feel received and they would enjoy themselves and feel at home. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we'll have a shake hand fellowship time a little bit later in the service, but to give you an opportunity before that, I'm going to go back here, and Brother Matt and Aaron Carpenter and Brother Ron Gardner here, they usually sit in the back row. Brother Ron Gardner is in the electric chair, but they're coming to unite with us in fellowship at Harvest Baptist Church. So again, a motion to receive them into our fellowship. Thank you, Brother Hunt, second by Brother Draper. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you make sure that you get by and... you get by and see them during the shake hand time. I just want to brag on our church just for a moment. It's such a blessing. At first, Miss Aaron said, "Well, Pastor, do you mind doing it early like you do?" So we're talking to Michelle, like you do sometimes, because I've got nursery duty today and I want to be in here, but then I can go back to the nursery. And then one of our other ladies, Miss Susan, said, "Well, I'll just take the nursery for you. You stay out there with your family since you're joining the church today." So isn't that a blessing? And so as we work together, encourage one another. And by the way, before the choir sings, I'll let you go out there, ladies. Or husband and wife team, we could always use help in the nursery if you'd like to volunteer. So make sure you see Miss Margot and Michelle if you can help in that area. Gentlemen, we prefer you're with your wife if you work in the nursery, okay? We just don't know if we're ready to fully trust you. Well, after all, we do have duct tape back there, and we want to make sure that you're safe as well with some of those toddlers. So anyway, well, God bless you. We're so glad you're here, Miss Michelle and the choir. Sing for us this morning. Welcome to the family.
Reveals the truth of all we call our
we prepare to go before the Lord in prayer and pray for the services, of course. Please pray for me as I preach that the Lord would use me. And let's also remember our presidents, our Secretary of Defense, and our Secretary of War. Lord, please protect them, our troops downrange. And those deployed, it's good to have Brother Zach back with us, who's been deployed for a while, and others that are still away. Pray for them as the Lord for their safe return. And pray for, peace in Jerusalem. Let's go before the Lord and ask God's blessings on our service this morning. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, we are truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity it is to come to thy house. Lord, we pray that you would help us today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to yield ourselves to you, Lord, that you may do what only you could really do in our midst today. I pray that you would work and move in the midst of your people. I pray that you'd use me today as I preach. And Lord, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's discouraged or struggling, maybe they be encouraged. May they feel the warmth and the love of this Holy Spirit and comforting them through the preaching of the word today. Father, I pray that you would be with our men. I pray that you'd be with our harvest men and those that are here today. I pray that you'd comfort them. I pray that you'd put a hedge about them, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, help them to guard themselves that they might protect them from hurting others, guard their tongue, their eyes, their ears, Father, their actions, Lord. I pray that you'd use them to be godly examples at home, in their community, and here at church, Father. I pray that you'd use them, and I thank you so much for the men that we have here at Harvest. Thank you for the wonderful turnout that we had yesterday with our men's breakfast and fellowship and prayer time. Lord, what a blessing it was. Pray your continued blessings upon our service, upon our men. Father, we thank you for our ladies, Lord, here at Harvest Baptist Church, and for their love for their pastor and his pastor's wife and their ministry here at Harvest Baptist Church. We are so grateful for them. We thank you for our young people, our children. We thank you for those who are involved in the nursery and children's ministry, those who are involved in security and protecting us during service. Father, we are so grateful for their willingness and their labor of love. And then now, Father, we pray, Lord, again, help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Help me to preach the word with power and boldness, Lord, without apology. And Father, I pray that you would help us as a church to respond, Lord, not responding to a preacher, but responding to the preaching of the word of God. Lord, help me to be an instrument, a tool in your hands this morning. And Father, I ask again, if there's anyone here today that needs comfort, that needs Christ, that needs answers in any way, that you'd comfort and help them this morning. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. For the ladies come and sing for us this morning, just one verse of scripture and 3 John in verse number 9. And yes, we are still in verse number 9. We may be there for a few more weeks. But the Bible says in verse number 9 of the third epistle of John, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not.
Sin and strife came in my life and took control. I knew that nothing I could do would save my soul. Well, I brought my heavy load of guilt to God in prayer. He laid my sins beneath the cross and left them there. I'm living, yes, living on higher ground. I know that I'm rescued and worry-bound. Since Jesus took my sins away, my life gets sweeter every day. I'm living, yes, living on higher ground. Since Jesus came and took my shame beyond a doubt, I just began to see what life was all about. Well, I moved up on a higher plane where joys abound. From that mountaintop of love, I won't come down. I'm living, yes, living on higher ground. I know that I'm rescued and glory bound. promises. Jesus took my sins away. My life gets sweeter every day. I'm living, yes, living on higher ground. I'm living, yes, living. I'm living on higher ground. I know I'm blessed, and now my glory bounces. Jesus took my sins away. My life gets sweeter every day. I'm living on higher ground.
And not only living on higher ground, I think I'm living on dry ground too. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, again, we'll pick up in 3 John, and I've read our text this morning, and kind of a little recap, the Diotrephes derangement syndrome. We gave an introduction to last week, and as we examine the traits of Diotrephes, or the Diotrephes derangement syndrome, we want to remind you to examine yourself to see if you are infected. And we'll talk a little bit more about that this morning. But if you are infected with this syndrome, I want to challenge you to take steps and make change in your life or your attitude to correct these things. And don't be a Diotrephes. Let the Word of God immunize you against this spiritual derangement syndrome. And I think so often I remember going to Bible college years ago, and some of you may remember this name, Dr. Lee Robertson, who pastored Highland Park Baptist Church many years ago in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he would always encourage and challenge people, man, the best inoculation for your spiritual life is to be under the preaching of the Word of God and apply it to your life. Let it speak to you, and you respond even better than you would if your doctor writes you a prescription. So we'll look just one point this morning, and that doesn't mean it'll be short, but just one point and a lot of little things underneath it. But number one, the negative traits of Diotrephes, the negative traits of Diotrephes there. See, Diotrephes had aspiration and ambition, but it was out of arrogance and not a servant's heart. See, that was his biggest problem. There's nothing wrong with ambition. There's nothing wrong with aspiration, but when it's for selfish reason and it's out of arrogance, it's for the wrong reason. And John makes it clear that he had already wrote to the church about the care of traveling preachers and Christians, but Diotrephes was a great hindrance. It was a hindrance because, as the Bible says, that he loveth to have the preeminence. He was what we would say a prima donna. The phrase here that is used is from a Greek word, and it literally means the desire to be first or number one. See, Diotrephes always had to be recognized. If we described him as an evangelist or a pastor or a conference meeting, he had to be the keynote speaker. He had to have the longest time frame for his presentation. Here we need to understand that this is not good or the right way for a Christian to be. It is and this phrase is also in the present tense, which indicates a continual action and is only seen here, which is very interesting. It's only seen here in this verse in the New Testament. Diotrephes constantly wanted to be number one. His attitude was totally opposite, let's say, of John the Baptist, who said of Jesus, I must increase. He must increase, but I must decrease. In other words, anything about me that's above Christ, anything that draws attention to me instead of pointing to Christ needs to change. This was also the attitude of great other servants of God throughout the history of our country and our world. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say or to communicate today. Ambition, again, is a good trait, especially in the Lord's work in serving others, but not when it's for self. So let's look at a few Christians that had godly ambitions. Jonathan Edwards. He was instrumental in the great spiritual awakening in colonial America because he was controlled by conviction. He wrote in his diary at the age of 19 years old, resolved that all men should live to the glory of God. And then he added, resolved, second, that whether others do this or not, I will. Jonathan Edwards was controlled by great conviction and godly ambition as well. William Booth's work with the Salvation Army was motivated by godly ambition. He wrote in an autograph album when he visited the king, King Edward VII, these words in the album as he received him into his home. Some men's ambition is art. Some men's ambition is fame. Some men's ambition is gold. Then Booth added, my ambition is the souls of men. That is the right type of ambition. This is a good kind of ambition. See, aspiration and ambition with arrogance are very destructive because they trample others to get what they crave. And that's exactly where Diotrephes was and what John was warning Gaius and the other churches about. One more example of a godly ambition and aspiration to serve God. I don't know this lady's name. This is in a book that I wrote as an illustration. I wish they had also included her name. More likely than not, she requested not for her name to be mentioned. But an elderly blind woman that was reached for the gospel in Africa by a missionary hungered to share her faith in the Word of God with others. She desired to learn. She desired to be discipled. And on the completion of her discipleship, and as she grew in the Lord, she wanted to make sure others heard. So one day she went to her missionary pastor, who led her to Christ and asked for a copy of the Bible in the French language. But she also requested that it was hardcover, that it would be durable, and that if he would open to John 3:16 and highlight that verse and mark it, so she, as a blind woman, could find it easily. The missionary was glad to do that. Wasn't quite sure why, but he said, yes, ma'am, I'll have it ready for you later today. He got the Bible ready, marked the book, gave it to her. Several days went by, a week went by, and the missionary thought, I wonder why she wanted that. So he decided that he would follow her one day to find out where she was going. As she left her home in the late afternoon, sometime in the late afternoon before the local school was being let out. And it was during those times, in those parts of Africa, it was a boys' school and a girls' school. And she went over each and every week out front of that boys' school and waited for the boys to come out. And she began to ask for help from the young boys as they came out the door. And whichever one would stop and ask her for help, she would say, would you please open this Bible to where it's marked? And would you read it out loud to me? The young boys would read the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And she would say, young man, do you know what that means? And over the next few moments, she made every attempt to lead those young men to Christ. The story's not over. Several years later, the missionary made comment. Several years later, that 24 young men who were pastoring churches started in Africa out of their church was led to Christ as schoolboys coming out of that building. Boy, that doesn't make you excited and say, man, I don't know what will. But the point I'm trying to make here, she had ambition despite of her disabilities. She had a desire to be used of God to serve the Lord. It wasn't of self. The only self that she ever asked of when she asked, if you could read this to me. That's the only time she asked for anything from those young boys. And then she presented Christ. Do you know what this verse means? Dear friend, when aspirations and ambition cause you to become consumed with yourself and unconcerned about God or the needs of others, then you have a problem. Possibly Diotrephes dysfunctional syndrome. And this is a great concern, or derangement syndrome. If this is you, you may be infected with this DDS. King Solomon warned us about destructiveness as an arrogant attitude in our life, as opposed to having great ambition and compassion. He says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then again in Proverbs 13 and verse 10, by pride cometh contention. See, the wrong kind of ambition got Adam and Eve into trouble in the Garden of Eden. They wanted to be like God, and it backfired. Mankind is paying the price today because of the choice that Adam made. Lucifer's ambition to be like the Most High God brought the judgment of the Lord upon him. He was cast down to the pits of hell in Isaiah chapter number 14. Haman's ambition moved him to try to destroy Mordecai and the Jewish people. But the result was his execution on the very gallows that he constructed for Mordecai. The ambition of presidents and princes that coveted Daniel's position motivated him to try to kill Daniel and to take his place. They persuaded the king to sign a law that would prohibit any prayer to any god, to any man, except to the king for 30 days. And anyone that violated that law would be cast into the den of lions. But Daniel prayed as usual and was discovered by those spied upon him. And when this happened, the king realized what had taken place and what they had done. But he was bound to keep his promise. And Daniel was cast into the den, but God spared his life. Dear friends, there's no limit to what the prayers of a praying man or a praying woman can do in the eyes of God. These men that accused Daniel were cast into the lion's den as well as their families. Their ambition and thirst to be preeminent at the destruction of someone else destroyed them. We should never look at the possibilities of being elevated by stepping on others or stepping over others that we might be recognized or noticed. That was Diotrephes' problem. And as John wrote, and we looked at previous weeks and warned Gaius and encouraged him and saying, I want your spiritual health to be as strong as your physical health, or your physical health to be as strong as your spiritual health. And he encouraged him, but warned him about Diotrephes. Dear friends, these men, again, that were accused Daniel, they're the ones that fell to destruction. And this attitude of ambition and pride continue to afflict people today. I'm afraid that not much has changed. Some families face constant conflict and turmoil as spouses fight with one another for selfish reasons or to get their own way in the home. Usually that battle ends up through the divorce courts. Children battle brothers and sisters to get their own way, arguing, fighting, hitting, cursing, screaming, lying, and scheming are the norm of the day in many homes. It is a tragedy when the home becomes a war zone. But this is what Diotrephes' derangement syndrome does to a family. But dear friends, churches are not exempt from folks who have this same type of problem. Remember, we can't say our church is exempt. We can't say a good church is exempt, though they should be. But remember, John was writing here to Gaius in reference to another house church that was having a problem because of the leadership that was within the church body. Dear friends, in some churches today, there are men or women that scheme or politic to be the leader of the church instead of the pastor. They will not let the pastor shepherd the church and lead it as God directs him. They will undermine, they will oppose, they will slander, they will lie, they will gossip against the pastor or godly leaders in the church to get them out of the church and get themselves leadership to get their own way. And I will say what I told you almost 3 years ago. If people are slandering other folks in the church, whether it be the pastor or the leadership, a Sunday school teacher, another church member, it doesn't make any difference. Just grab them by the hand and say, hey, let's go to them. You can just tell them what you just told me. That's the best way to squelch that. That's the best way to stop that. See, people will try to undermine and oppose by doing the slandering and the lying. But this process of competing for power, the unity and the love in the church are turned into strife, division, and destruction. This is what was taking place in the church where Diotrephes was creating problems. Week after week, year after year, I talked to other pastors. One of our very own missionaries that helps pastors, other missionaries that we know that help churches and leadership to stay together, to help them to get their first pastor and their next pastor, and often find out the problem within the church wasn't the pastor, it wasn't the church family, but just a few within that was bucking for position and causing problems that disrupt their family. And so often those things need to be resolved before the church can move forward. And the best way to resolve those things is say, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to be honorable. Help me to be a servant. Help me to serve my church family. Not of self, not my own ambitions, but a desire that our church may grow and prosper in the sight of our Savior. Dear friends, many pastors have endured conflicts with men who were in leadership that should not have been because they did not meet the spiritual qualifications. Understand, beloved, that church officers are not to be running the church. They are not to be leading the pastor. They are to be helping him and the church family. And I praise the Lord to have a church and men of the church to support and encourage their pastor. I'm so grateful for that. But dear friends, don't take for advantage, this preacher doesn't, for a church that tries to move and progress in that direction, because many churches have problems. If it was not so, John would not have written to make this available for us today as it was needed so many thousand years ago. Dear friends, we are to help the pastor carry the load, not make the load heavier. That's why we've talked about faith, family, and fellowship. That's why we've talked about the aspect of getting involved in the church grounds and given an opportunity in proclamation and property, parishioner care and pastoral care, as we pray for one another, encourage one another, and do what we can to see our church to grow. I praise the Lord for families over these last several weeks that have contacted me or pulled me aside. Pastor, what can I take off your plate this week? Hey, Pastor, I want to go make this visitor to do this, and I'll let you know if more is needed, anything can be done for you. I greatly appreciate that. We had a men's prayer breakfast the other day. I was able to come in to the men's prayer breakfast and fellowship while men got there early and they prepared and they cooked and stayed later and cleaned up as they ministered to their other brothers in Christ that were present. What a blessing that I don't feel like any pastor doesn't feel like they have to oversee everything that takes place. What a blessing and a joy to see the men serving one another and encouraging one another in the Lord's work. Dear friends, understand that they're, as I mentioned, not to be running the church, but they come alongside and help. Why does a person demand to be first or have their own way to the detriment of others? That's what kids do. Kids want to be first. They want to jockey for position. Maybe several children in a family want to be first to greet daddy with a hug when he comes home. They want to win the game they play, and one gets upset and runs off in the room and cries because they lost. My grandchildren do that today, and I always go after the one who runs off and brings them back in and encourage them that not everyone could win. If you're not the one crying, that means one of your sisters are. Do you want your sister to cry or be hurt because she didn't win or because she didn't get her way? Oh, no, Peppa, I don't want that. No, it doesn't matter who wins. We do it to spend time together. And we should grow out of that as mature, sound Christians, wanting one another to thrive and to do well, wanting to serve behind the scenes or encourage any way that we can. But yet there are those, they feel that they have to be number one. Maybe some are insecure about themselves and feel this is the only way that they can gain acceptance or recognition. Some folks have a very low view of themselves, low self-esteem, and they crave attention to make themselves feel better. Others behave this way because they covet the attention of others, or they have some of the ambitions they have are for jealousy. Dear friends, jealousy over the success that others have will eat your joy like a cancer. I strive and I ask the Lord to help me. I want to do all I can to better my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage them, to challenge them in the Word, to encourage them to get involved, to have a ministry, to encourage them to be a blessing and to help to others where they can. Beloved, don't let envy and jealousy ruin your life. Solomon warned in Proverbs that envy is the rottenness of the bones in Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Yes, it's the pride and selfish ambitions of the Diotrephes derangement syndrome that hinders us from being what God wants us to be. Dear friends, does God need to knock you off your high horse to get the rough edges smoothed out in your life? Do you feel that you're better than someone else? Do you feel that it's more that you can do? Think of an example. Brother Mel, forgive me, because if I asked him to do this, he would have told me no. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'll get forgiveness after the fact. I asked Brother Mel to teach the adult men's Sunday school class, and he said he was willing to give it a go for a few weeks. And make a long story short, he's done a great job, hasn't he, man? But here's what I appreciate. Probably, in many cases, the smartest man in the room. Very intelligent. Right behind Brother Leonard. But he doesn't act that way. He says, I have learned such great humility in just preparing to teach you men. You see, if we have that type of attitude in our service for others, whether it be our peers as men or ladies as men or men and women, and our desire to serve, it's not for me, but in humility, I desire to serve you. I desire to be a blessing to you. I desire to do these things even anonymously, in secret, or to do something that doesn't need to be done. Again, even another aspect is we try to encourage our men, and my men, the men hear me. I don't have to say it so much anymore, but they used to hear me say, gentlemen, you need to keep short accounts. I can't be around the men very long where someone says, guys, we got to keep short accounts. The preacher keeps telling, and that's encouraging to me. Brother Mel couldn't make it Saturday to the men's prayer breakfast because he had another obligation. But he was reached out by Brother Tony, one of the other men, to make sure he was okay, to make sure that there's nothing wrong because you were missed. That's what fellowship is all about. Church, family, and fellowship. Encouraging, putting others first. Not that Diotrephes syndrome where I want to be the preeminence. I want to be first. I want to be there. A different belief. It's okay to be the first one here to make arrangements, but I mean being first and being recognized in being first. Dear friends, if the Lord is putting you through the fires of trials to bring you to a point where you must and need to submit to the Lord so that people can see Christ in your life, why not just go ahead and do it? Go ahead, just make a decision. I don't need to be first. I don't need to be recognized. I don't need the accolades. I just want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when I meet my Savior in the air. But if we strive or desire, act like a Diotrephes, we'll only find that we're causing other harm in our wake because of the things that we do and say. Dear friends, this Diotrephes is stubborn and self-centered. But we should make a decision to not be like him. But if we're going to be like someone in the Bible, I can mention many, but let's keep it at 3 John. Gaius, who John said was a wonderful man. His spiritual man was so strong that he wanted his physical man to be just as strong. What a testimony. So let's examine ourselves, gentlemen, ladies, young people. Am I more like Gaius or Diotrephes? Am I striving to be more like my Savior in service unto others? Or do I need or have the me first syndrome? Only you can answer that question. And the best inoculation that you could have for the Diotrephes syndrome is the very Word of God. Get in it, bathe in it, search the scriptures, be around other men so the as the Bible says, let iron sharpen iron. So as we close this morning, let me ask the question with my first point that I had this morning, a question that only you can ask. And gentlemen, if you can't answer the question, I know it's a scary thing, ask your wife. Do I have negative traits? Or do I have traits like Diotrephes? Do I have that derangement syndrome in my life because it's the me first thing? Or am I a servant unto the Lord Jesus and a servant unto my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our panelists will make our way to the piano and we'll have a verse or two of invitation in just a moment. But let me challenge you once again this morning. As John wrote, he says, I ride into the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. How well are you receiving your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it me first, or do you have a desire to serve and to minister unto others? Only you can answer that question. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. I pray that you speak to the hearts of your men and your women that are here today. Pray there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know that they're saved and on their way to heaven and maybe a little confused about all that was said. It wasn't necessarily a salvation message this morning, but the same Holy Spirit can draw people into himself no matter what the message is. And Father, may there's Christians here as well this morning that may want to come and just thank the Lord for a church like this. Thank the Lord for the message. Or they may want to come and say, Lord, help me to strive to continue to be more like you in any part of my life that resembles Diotrephes. Father, would you just cut it out? Would you smooth off the rough edges that I may serve you with all of my heart and with all of my strength? Father, bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and folks are praying where they stand. Others may want to come and pray this morning. But if God has spoken to your heart this morning, why not do business with the Lord? The song says, have thine own way, Lord. Can you really sing those words? Do you really mean, Lord, please have your way in my life? Make me more like you and less like self. Help me be completely inoculated from the Diotrephes derangement syndrome. Help me to stay in the word that I may stay clear of that type of attitude, that type of preeminence in my life. But I would always want to put my family first, my church family first, the fellowship that I have with my fellow church family members first over myself. Lord, help me not to be like him. Search me and try me, Lord. Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. I'm going to say something or get dismissed in prayer. Now, I go to the doctor. Well, I haven't done this in a while, but usually people go to the doctor to get a flu shot so they don't get the flu, not because they already have it. Is that correct? All right. I know today I preached a message. As far as I know, there's no one guilty here of that this morning, but it's a good inoculation preparation so that it doesn't come. And sometimes that's some of the hardest messages a pastor has to preach. Knowing is very clear, very plain in the Word. Don't feel like there's any problems in our church, but still needs to because it's in the Word of God. Amen. Well, I'm going to make my way to the back and turn this fan off back here before I forget. And again, don't forget, those who ever pray needs to pray long enough that I can get to the back and take off my coat and get rested here just for a moment to greet you folks out. It's good to have you folks back. It's good to have the York family back. You continue to pray for them as he'll be seeing his doctor again later, possible surgery at the end of the month. We'll be praying for him. Good to have Zach back as well. So good to see him. And it's good to meet Christy's sister. Okay, it's a good pleasure to meet you. Those of you didn't recognize, that's her younger sister over there. Make sure you get by to greet her as well. Good to have other George here visiting with us as well. So if you haven't had a chance to greet some of our visitors, make sure you get by and greet them. Of course, our newest church family members.